All right, well, this morning let's look at 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. It says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." In the NIV, it says, "And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe." In the Amplified, it says, "And we also thank God continually for this, that when you receive the word of God concerning salvation," that's just a comment, but it applies across the board, "which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of mere men, but as it truly is the word of God, which is effectually at work in you who believe, exercising its inherent supernatural power in those of faith." This is speaking to the Thessalonians, the church at Thessalonica, and saying, "You, when we preached the word to you, you received it not just as Paul speaking, as me, Paul speaking." He said he didn't just receive it as human words, but you received it as the word of God. Let's read a few more verses before we go on. Hebrews 4:11. It says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest," or enter that rest, "lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Verse 12 in the NIV, it says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitude of the heart." And finally, let's read 1 Peter 1, verse 22. It says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed." Born again is not a religious term. Born again means when you trusted God through Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Jesus said you must be born again. In other words, you can't come to God as you are. Your heart, the spirit part of you, is born again. Now, your physical body isn't born again. Whatever body you have before you trusted God, it's the same. What your mind, it's not reset and erased like you would reformat a hard drive or a computer all of a sudden. Thank God. Because all of a sudden, if our mind was erased when we got born again, all of a sudden we would just be like a baby. We wouldn't be able to talk. We wouldn't be able to do anything. We wouldn't know who we were. Your mind's involved in moving your body. You know, babies, they're learning to move everything. I guess we'd just fall down. Thank God that didn't happen. The part of us that's born again is our spirit, the unseen part of you. That's the part that's born again. It's remade. It's new. But the rest of us, our minds, we got to reprogram it. We got to renew it. We've got to reprogram it with something. That's the word of God. We're going to be talking about some of these things. But your mind, whatever thoughts you had, whatever thoughts I had before I got born again, before I declared Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I have the same thoughts. They're there. I got to do something with it. It's going to run. My mind is going to run the same program as it did before unless I change the program. That's called renewing your mind. That's replacing my thinking before with God's thinking. How do you know God's thoughts? The Word of God. So we replace the thoughts that are there with the Word of God and line up our thinking to be His thinking. And then your body, my body, it wants to do what it wants to do. And it you know, before you got born again, if we had certain habits, tendencies, however we acted, your body wants to do the same thing. It doesn't all of a sudden you become born again, all of a sudden, oh, well, my body now just, you know, wants to exercise all the time, wants to eat exactly right, wants to go to bed on time, you know, all that stuff. No, it wants to do what it wants to do. We have got to do something with our body. We got to put our body under. We got to make our body do what, I mean, that applies for humankind, Christian or not Christian. But as a Christian, some people say, well, why does my body want to do this? I'm a Christian. Yeah, your body just wants to do what it wants to do. That's everybody's body. And that'll never end. We have to bring our body under. So we're a three-part being. We are a spirit. We have a soul, our mind, will, and emotions. We live in a body. The part of us that got renewed when we got born again is our spirit. But our mind, we've got to renew with the Word of God. Our body, we got to discipline it and put it under. As our mind gets renewed by the Spirit of God within our spirit, we can dominate our body and say, no, body, you want to do that, but you're not going to do it. And we put it under, and we've got to discipline it. And thank God if we miss it, if we sin, we go to God and say, God, I missed it. Forgive me. I acknowledge. You got to acknowledge it's wrong. You say, oh, nothing to see here. See, then we're siding on the wrong. We're on the wrong side. But if we say, God, I missed it. That was wrong. Forgive me. That says, if you confess your sin, 1 John 1, 9, confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness because of the blood of Jesus. If we know it's wrong, we can be forgiven. Then there's things that you don't even see. You don't have light on. Don't know. You're doing. God doesn't hold you accountable for what you don't see. But when you see it, now you know. Your conscience is going to bother you. You say, that's wrong. Well, just get it corrected. Go before God and then thank God for the blood of Jesus that you can stand before God in spite of the fact that you and I don't live everything perfect. Now, that's not an excuse. We don't go and say, well, it just doesn't matter. Blood of Jesus, so I just do whatever. No, now the Bible says the wages of sin is death in Romans 6, I believe. It wages of sin is death. So if we play on the wrong side, we're giving the devil, we're giving him access to our lives. And we're giving him access to come into our lives. So if we just say, oh, it doesn't matter, I'll do it, God will forgive me. Well, we're giving Satan access to come and destroy and for death to come in. So you don't want that. I don't want that. So no, we don't act like it doesn't matter, but if you stumble, if you mess up, you go to God and say, God, that was wrong, forgive me. Thank you for Jesus that right now I'm just as clean and righteous as if I never sinned. Amen? Now that's not all in my notes, but as we're going on here, let's look at 1 Peter 1 verse 23 again. I said, having been born again. So that's what born again is. And this is, there's a process when we're born again. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. We were born again, not of corruptible, perishable seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's what I want you to get. We got born again through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. So the word of God, it endures forever. It doesn't fade away. You and I, our bodies, you know, if Jesus doesn't come back before we die, every one of our bodies is going to go in the grave. Our body has got a shelf life, this body. Everything in this world has a shelf life. It's all decaying. It's all getting older. But the Word of God abides forever. It endures forever. You and I are going to live forever, just not in this body, thank God. This one isn't built to last. We're going to get a new one, get a glorified body that's built to last. And but not this one is not going to make the cut, not going to make the journey. But ourselves, our spirit man, will live forever. Your soul, your mind, that doesn't get erased. We leave this body, we slip out of this body like a hand slips out of a glove. You're still not going to know who you are. You're going to still have memories and thoughts. We could prove that to you by the Word of God, but we're not going to take time. And we're going to see things. But the point I'm making right now is the Word of God endures forever. So let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. The importance of the Word of God. Let's look at it in the New King James, the first one. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us. Notice that. You received the Word of God, which you heard from us. Now, it's the Word of God, but they're just hearing it through Paul. But it's the Word of God. It says, when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So a couple things. He's saying to the church here, when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, go ahead and put it up again. When you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. So you heard the Word of God, he's saying, through us, but you didn't think it was just us. You recognized it was the Word of God. So the Word of God, then, you look at the next part, go ahead and put it up again, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So the Word of God, you received it. They received it as the Word of God, and the Word of God works in us who believe. The Word of God will do the work. The Word of God will change us. As we cooperate, as we believe, it's going to change us. But notice the key here, you've got to receive the Word of God as the Word of God. Now we have the Word of God written in whatever form it takes, electronic, physical, written word. It's the Word of the Lord. We've got to, for it to work effectively in us, we've got to receive it as the Word of God, not as a bunch of some human stories. And when you hear the Word of God, like what's happening right now, you've got to recognize it as the Word of God, not as somebody's opinion or theory. That's why we always emphasize that you believe and have your faith based on the Word of God, not on what I say, not on what anybody else says. Don't look at what somebody says. I don't care who they are, what their name is, where they, you know, what's on the internet, on social media. You don't go by what somebody says. Your question should always be, great, what does the Word say? Can I honestly look at the Word and say, yep, what you're saying is in the book? And if it's not, maybe no disrespect for the person, I've got to reject that because I don't follow people in that way. Now, I do follow people as they follow Jesus. God set that up. God ordained us to hear the Word, like in a setting like this, and in teachers. But you're looking at the people as people that God has put in place, and it's a God-ordained thing. But you don't follow the people when they're not following God. And if somebody utters something that's just an opinion and they can't back it up with the Word of God, you and I have to reject that, because otherwise we're just following somebody's theory. We're following somebody's opinion. So if we'll listen, when we hear the Word of God preached, we should have the attitude that we're looking and saying, is this what the Word, is that what, yep. Is that what the Word of God says? And if it is, yep, I see it. Yeah, that's what it is. Okay, I can take that. I can build my life on it. That will change me. But you know what? Somebody's opinion, where they quote some scripture and then go off to say something, and you're going, that sounds really good. It's, wow, you get, your words are amazing and getting fiery, and I just don't see that the Bible's actually saying that. And if you decide, yeah, but I mean, look at, you're pretty famous, I'm going to follow that, there will be no effective working because that's not the Word of God. Yeah. On the other hand, doesn't matter who it is, you could hear the Word of God, person could be wearing, you know, dirty clothes. I mean, I don't think that's a good thing, but, you know, just nothing. You look and you go, your hairstyle is, you know, from the 70s, and your clothes are too, and but they're back in style, so that's okay. And, you know, I don't see anything flashy here, but when you're speaking, I can see that you're actually saying the Word of God, so I am hearing the Word of God, and that I can bank on. Thank you for helping me to see what God said. See, that's how we follow people. Yeah, you have some insight. I see how, yeah, that's the Word of God, and God ordained that. We should read the Bible on our own. It's ordained by God. If the only time you're reading your Bible is in church, we are not going to be the Christian we ought to. We won't grow as we ought to. But God also ordained things like this where the Word of God's going forth and there's insight, supernatural. Notice we pray at the beginning. We don't do that just to check a box. We're believing God that God's going to help inspire His Word for me to say the right words, yielding to the Holy Spirit, who's actually the teacher, and He is teaching spirit to spirit, and I'm just a vessel, or whoever it is just a vessel, to connect with Him so that He can do the ministry. God ordained that, so then we see, oh, I see that like I haven't seen before. There's just like it just went into my heart. I'm feeling like I'm getting nourished spiritually. I see the Word of God. See, that's when the Word of God, it works effectively in us. It'll change us. The Word of God will do that. But you know what the key is? We've got to esteem it as the Word of God and not as men. If we go, yeah, let's see what you got. See how, you know, and just listen to it. Ah, that's a good point. Oh, I like that sentence. That we missed it altogether. We have to say, is it the Word of God? And if it is, well, that's God's Word. Now, that'll work. I don't care who you are, you can take that to the bank. It's a solid foundation because the Word of God endures forever. Let's read a couple of the scriptures that we read before. I wanted to read those initially, but going over them in this context. Hebrews 4, 12. Let's just skip to verse 12. Hebrews 4, 12. So you see this then, that the Word of God is working. For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, it pierces even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God will just show us up where we really are. Notice it said, it'll split between soul and spirit. See, those aren't the same thing. Your soul, your mind, what's been embedded in there for, you know, many years maybe, and you don't even know. It's like, is that God leading me? Is that just my head? The Word of God will slice in and show you. It can discern. God's Word is powerful. It'll do that. It'll cut through. And just read this verse before we go on. Verse 13 in the New King James, it says, there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. God sees everything. He sees everything. And so His Word is just like, we're going to see this in a moment, it's just a light that shows up everything. And it'll show us how to go. It'll show us how to act. It'll show us how to live our life. And then we read 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Let's read that again, and then we're going to go on. It says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed. How did we get born again? It wasn't of something that perishes, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flower grass. In other words, it's just gonna go away just like grass. The grass withers, its flower falls away. Verse 25, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. So the Word of God is powerful and it's gonna help us change. It's how we got born again. That Word of God came forth and we believed it, and that's how we became born again. Praise God. Let's go to I'm going to skip down to Romans. I'm going to come back to where we are here. But just because we were just saying that, Romans 10, verse 14. Romans 10, verse 14, it says, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, we who bring glad tidings of good things." 16, "But then they have not obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?'" 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That's what Peter was talking about. You were born again through the word of God. Verse 17 says, "So faith," and this applies in every area, it applies to salvation, but applies in every area, "faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So when the word of God comes, that word of God is incorruptible. If we esteem it as the word of God and not as man, faith is there to believe. We have to choose to believe. What we choose to believe, faith is there for whatever the word of God is carrying. So you have to hear the word in order to believe. The word of God is incorruptible, is powerful, endures forever. But as that word comes, then if we say, wait, I hear it, if I choose to believe it, now I give access into my heart for that word of God to do what it does. Yeah. It's powerful. It'll change me. But if I say, nah, I cut it, nope, then that word of God, as powerful as it is, come and it just like drops on the floor. In my heart, I closed it down. It can't do what it wants. It can't do anything. There won't be faith there. But if I'll open that word of God when it comes, faith is there. And if I choose to work with that and lean into it and choose to believe, now the word of God can penetrate my heart. Now it can change my life in that area wherever the word of God applies. This is saying, go back to verse 14, talking in context specifically about being born again, about trusting God through Jesus. "How then shall they call on him on whom they have not believed?" How can you call on somebody when you don't believe? And then next verse, how can you believe unless you've heard? How will you hear unless somebody says it, a preacher, declarer? And how shall you preach unless they're sent? But he's saying you've got to hear the word so that you can believe, and then you can call. Well, that's what happens when the word of God comes. Now we make the decision, faith is there, make the decision to cooperate with that. Now I give the word of God access to change my life in whatever area that word of God applies to. It works in every area. As I hear the word of God in a certain area, faith will be there, but I have a decision. Am I going to take that as the word of God, or am I going to say, I don't really believe that? That's not my opinion. See, at that point, we made the word of God null and void in that area. See, we may have already believed on Jesus. We may be a Christian. But when the word of God comes in a different area, we can say, I don't like that. You know what that happens a lot? Because if I agree with it, that means I have to change. And this is what stunts our growth. It comes and we say, I'm choosing to believe that's not God right now. I'm just going to keep doing what I want to do. You know what we did? We made the word of God, the living, powerful word of God, null and void in our life. It's not that it's not powerful, but God respects the boundaries. He's a gentleman. He won't, even for our own good, he won't usurp our authority that he gave us. So he won't force it down your throat. The word of God comes, we can say, that's the word. Yep. Or let me back up. The first reaction, we could say, the word of God comes and we're like, I don't want to, no. I don't believe that. I don't want to change that. I don't want to believe that's true. And so we negate it. I like what this other guy, see, that's where people get into trouble. I like what this other person says. Now, I know I can't really see it in the Bible, but I like it. I want that to be true. See, at that point, we're fooling ourselves. We're saying, I like that. We're just wanting a philosophy. Now we're picking and choosing kind of what I like. I may be a Christian, but what I'm saying is I'm going to make my life the way I want to make my life. Well, if we really believe God's word is true and that it's right and that he has our best interest, at that point, we're really shooting ourselves in the foot. Even if we don't understand it, we're going, yeah, I don't really see that. I don't like that. I'm going to take that part of God's good word out of my life, and maybe I'll just deal over here. At that point, we've made that. So in that area, we've said, God, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to do this. Or the positive part is we can take it and go, yeah, that's not what I've heard up till now. But I believe that's God's word. I see it. I don't see it just in half a verse. I see it. That's what you're saying. That's what the word teaches. God, I don't know how I'm going to change that. You know, been doing this for 20 years, doing this for 50 years. I don't know. But it's your word. Amen. And your word works in me. If I accept it as your word, it'll work in me and help me. God, help me. Help me change. And you know what we do? We give access to the word of God in our human spirit, in our mind. He'll help us with our body. The power of the Holy Spirit to come on the scene and to help the humble person like that do what he said. But you know who opens the door? It's us. We give access. The word of God comes and we say, yep, that's the word of God. Lord, that's your word. I believe it. All right, at your word, help me. And that's the attitude to go into it. Help me. Because you know as well as I do, we all, like I said before, we all have flesh. That means we all got a body. It wants to do what it wants to do. There's not a person on the planet that has a completely pure programmed mind, completely lined up with the word of God. Nobody on the planet does. We're all working at it. Some of it, we got programmed before we even knew it was happening. All of us. And we came up, and thank God, you know, all of our parents are imperfect. You know why? They're all human. Every one of us is perfect. I mean, not perfect. Every one of us has blind spots. So not one of us came up perfectly. And so what is our endeavor? To let the word of God, as we see it, and we recognize it as the word of God, become truth in our life, and cooperate with God through the power of the Holy Spirit to live according to that word. And as we do it, we'll grow, our mind will change, we'll continue to replace, continue to program new places, our mind, if you could see it on a chart, your mind when you got born again, and if it was, you know, color-coded to show the parts that lined up with the Word of God and all the parts. Different people are going to be, I mean, because there's stuff you could do and it lines up with the Word of God. You didn't know it was the Word of God. But you're doing it. You're taught that way. You do it and you're like, well, that checks. I didn't know it was in the Bible, but I'm doing it. And you don't even know it. Other people, you know, a lot of it just looks like it's completely not the Word of God. And if you looked at it over time, if we'll do it with we're talking about an honest heart on Wednesdays, if we'll do it and just go before God and let the Word of God work in our life, see, over time, the part that's not of God will get smaller and smaller, and the part that is of God will get larger and larger. The chart will change. You know it's changing. Hopefully, what we want is the chart is changing daily. It just keeps moving. And if we miss it, we fall down, we look like we just regressed 2 years. That's not the time to just sit there and just go, well, forget it. I can't do it. That's why Jesus came. Hallelujah. He's the only way to the Father, and he made us right. The answer is not to go, well, I already missed it. Might as well just stay here. That'd be like, you know, you fall in the mud and you're like, I'm dirty, so I might as well just stay all dirty. No, get up, go take a shower, get cleaned. Go to God and say, God, you don't have to do penance. You don't have to do a bunch of works. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to say, I'm sorry for 3 days until you feel good about it. That doesn't do any good. No, you say, Lord, I missed it. I'm sorry. That was wrong. Thank you for Jesus. You said you would forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Thank you. I don't deserve it. But thank you. I'm clean. I'm right. And I go on. And it's that simple. You just get up and go. And you start, you keep on the reprogramming process. Keep letting that word of God change. Change and enlighten us. Look at, go back to Psalm 119, 105. Psalm 119, 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. In the Living Bible, it says, your words are a flashlight to light the path ahead of me and keep me from stumbling. His word gives light. It shows, it illuminates, and shows us what we need to do, what we don't need to do. It shows up the things that are wrong. And this isn't about condemnation. This isn't about beating us up. The Christian life is not about just trying to be good enough. The Christian life is about serving God. And we live in a body that doesn't want to do that. And we have a mind that's been programmed that doesn't want to do it. But we're on this earth and to serve God. And we don't want to have anything to do with the things that are going to hinder that service. It's not a performance checklist. It's a journey to get through to serve God. And we don't want anything that's going to hinder. And the Word of God will show us and go, you know, if you're stumbling through a forest with no light, and it's dark, it's not like here, like, you know, we live near city. There's a lot of light. But if you're like in the middle of a field away from any kind of light, it is so much darker. The sky is dark. You don't see, I mean, you see the sky, you see the stars, but you don't see that light pollution coming up. And you can't see stuff. You know, you're near the middle of the forest, now you got the trees, and they're blocking any light that is there. You can't see anything. If you're there without a light, you don't know. You just say, I'm just going to make it through. You might just run smack into a tree and be knocked out, and they find you the next morning. And most of us, we wouldn't try that. We're like, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. So what do? Now, pull out our phone. Now I can see where I'm going, right? That's what the Word of God is to us. We're in this earth. If we just are in this world and we're just like, I'll make it. It may look sunny outside, but it's dark. This world is dark, spiritually speaking. And if we're just like, I got this, we can. That's why we just go up, we just hit something. We're like, what? Well, God's Word could have showed us not to do that. So if we'll back up and we'll go, God, help me, show me. And we take it as His word. We say, oh, that thing, that's going to knock me out. Like, I see it. It's in my path. Now I can be like, nah, that's not the word of God, and just storm to it. And then, you know, wake up on the ground and dazed and go, what happened? Well, the word of God showed me, but I decided no. And at that point, I set myself up for that. But I can say, God, or I can say, God, when we read the word, it's just like light goes in our life and it goes to every corner of our life and we can see parts. It's the Holy Spirit. You're reading the Bible when we're talking like now, the word of God will just illuminate parts of our life and show you where things are and how we should navigate and walk. And if we'll cooperate with that, it is literally like a path, like a flashlight on our path that now we can walk cleanly. We can walk solidly. That it's a process that we cooperate with God to walk forward in what He has for us. It'll show up the things that are wrong and the things that are right. Look at Ephesians 5:18, or 5:8, excuse me. It says, for you were once darkness. And He's talking to the Ephesians. He's talking to these. They're living in things that are not good. The people there, they're in a society that's serving other gods and All kinds of stuff. And he says, for you were once darkness. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Ephesians. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. How are you going to do that? The light. What's the light? The Word of God. The Spirit of God. It's going to show us. How is that going to happen in our life? We're going to esteem the Word of God as the Word of God so that it's light to us. You know, if I'm walking in the middle of the forest and I can't see, now this is a foolish example, I know, but you walk in the, you know, why are you walking in the forest just without a light anyway? Okay, whatever. But let's say we are and we got somebody next to us and like, I can't see. And somebody goes, well, I got a phone with a light. Let me turn it on. You're like, no, I don't want that. That's not going to help. May help you, but it's not going to help me. Okay, at that point, I rejected the light. Again, that's a dumb example. Here's a real example. Like if I'm working at home, I think this happened the other day. I can't remember the context. Don't try to give it to me, one of the kids. But I was working on something, and one of them was like, here, do you need help seeing? And I could see pretty well, but you know, if I was like, nah, get that light out of here. Well, I'm not going to be able to see as well as I could. The light helps. If I reject the light, then I go without the light. You know, that's what a lot of people do with God's word. They're like, nah, that's stupid. That's the word of men. That's just the fables. And they're, okay, you don't need the light. Just stumble on. To the degree that each of us do this in our life is the degree that we'll have the light and God can help us, or we're just like, nah, I'm good running in the tree. Let me go. So he says this here for verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. What's going to expose them? The light. You ever had like, I don't want to gross anybody out, I can't even think of a real good example here, but you know, you didn't see certain things went on your food or whatever, and then somebody shined something and you're like, oh no, that's what that really is looking like, you know, or something isn't as clean as you thought. You know, when I never did drywall, but you know, my family did custom homes and stuff, so I was around contractors and stuff. And one thing I know when drywall, you know, like the walls, I don't think they call it drywall here.
Yeah, they do.
They do call it drywall? Okay. Anyway, like the board that's on the wall, you know, when they start putting, they tape it and they mud it and they put the different pieces together and they smooth it, they do it, but then they go over with a bright light to expose all the imperfections. Like you look at it and you're like, ah, it's good. But then you put that light on there and you're like, no, it's not. And they fix it up to where now if it can survive under that light and still look good, now it's good. Now we can actually finish it. So the light will expose what's wrong. It'll expose where there's obstacles. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which were done by them in secret, talking about these people. Verse 13, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, and whatever makes manifest is light. That's the word of God. So it'll show us. The word of God makes manifest its light to our life, and it'll help us as we give it access and say, that's the word of God. That light comes on where we maybe have beat our head against the tree 14 times, the light comes on. It's like, well, that's why my head hurts. That's what's going on. I didn't realize that. Now I see it. Now I can walk forward according to his word. His word is powerful in all areas to help us as we go.
Amen.
I'm going to close with this. Look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the NLT, it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So the Word of God does that. It shows what's true. It shows what needs to be corrected. It helps us to come up. It helps us to be grounded, to be prepared, to be equipped. And as we give that word access, then, it helps us to grow. I'm going to read one more verse and we'll close. 1 Peter 2, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes," what is that? People that have been born again, "desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby." In the NLT, it says, "So get rid of all evil behavior," like we talked about, that's going to show it up. "Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation." How's that going to happen? The Word of God coming into our life. We're going to recognize it as the Word. We're going to act on that Word. We're going to change our mind to agree with that Word. And as we do that, our lives will change. It's little by little. Little by little. It changes. What used to hinder us doesn't hinder us anymore. What we used to wonder about, now we're clear on. What used to bind us, we're free. But that Word of God has power to make that effective change in our life, cooperating with the power of the Holy Spirit as we just walk and give it that proper place. Amen.